you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans, please. The book of Romans. Pastor is watching right now. He is on the road, I believe, probably out by, let's see here, 7. He's probably going to be home tonight or this tomorrow morning at around 1 a.m. So is that right, Jack? Well, where were they last time you called them? They're probably by right past Redding somewhere. Sacramento, okay. So right out that way. So Sacramento is usually about 6 hours away or so, unless you drive really fast, and then you could be here a little bit sooner. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Preacher is important. "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So let's pray. Father, we pray that you bless this time. Be with preacher, Lord, as he travels right now, probably listening and watching on the live stream. We thank you for him, Lord, and we thank you for his family. We pray, Father, that as a church that we get behind what God is doing here. And, Lord, we understand that God blesses a church through a man. And I pray, Father, that you help us as a church to love our pastor and to have a great relationship with him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, God has given us an amazing pastor. Brother, if you can give me just a little bit more, whatever this is called here, monitor, that would be great. I thank God for our pastor. I thank God for our church. I thank God for the leadership that we've had all these years, starting with Pastor Esposito, starting the church from scratch, if you will. I remember the first time coming to our church. I was expecting a building like what we have there, but it was very, very surprising that I drove through an alley to get to church with barbed wires, and it was, I wouldn't even call it a storefront. It was something else. I remember I thank God for the Christian school where we're starting and excited about that. Exciting we get to meet together and everything like that for school. My children are just really excited. They're like, "Oh, I hope we don't have to do Zoom again, and I hope you don't have to either." And then we got the word we're going to come to school, and just a blessing, and we're excited about it. But I remember I was one of the first students in the first year of our school. I'm thinking, you know, I came from Massachusetts, and I went to a very big Catholic school. I went to a Catholic school, probably the best Catholic school that they had there in Lowell, Massachusetts. And I'm thinking, you know, if I'm going to come to a Christian school, I'm thinking it's kind of something like that. Buildings, facilities, sports teams. We had something called PACES. And that wasn't the worst part, which I love PACES. The cubicles that we had, talking about social distancing back then, it was social distancing. And we had that. And to see the evolution of our church from then to now, it's amazing. And God's blessed our church because God has blessed our pastor. I love probably one of the most productive relationships that I've had since I was a teenager to now is my relationship with our pastor. I was pretty close to Pastor Esposito. I'm pretty close to Pastor Myers. Growing up, I didn't have a dad, and my dad died when I was 6 months old, and a single mom, and coming here, and Pastor kind of, Pastor Esposito kind of took me under his wing, and trained me, and helped me, and I had training from Pastor Myers, and just the different men in our church, Brother Board and Brother Esposito, Johnny Esposito. And I remember soaking it in. I thank the Lord for these men. But I've always had a strong relationship with my pastor. Humanly speaking, God has used Pastor Esposito and Pastor Myers to help guide and mold my life, humanly speaking, more than anybody that I know. I came here when I was 14 years old, kind of aimless. My family has gone, went through some problems. And my brother at a young age got locked up and just a lot of family turmoil and divorce and things of that nature. And I didn't really see a good home. And coming here, I was the reason my mom moved to California was to kind of come and help my grandparents. And I'm thinking, man, you think I'm bad out in Lowell, Massachusetts in the boonie. When I come over here, it's going to be a lot worse. But God put us in a great church. Amen. With a great pastor. And God started changing my life through the preaching and teaching and the influence of our pastor. I've always had a great relationship with them. I believe one of the biggest mistakes a church member can make is not having and getting close, having a good relationship and getting close to your pastor. Some people might think, well, he's a little bit too busy. Maybe our church is a little bit too big. He's too busy helping other people with bigger problems, or maybe I'm a little bit too new here and he doesn't have time for me. Whatever reasons you might have, let me assure you, our pastor loves, cares, and has time for you. He wants to connect with you. He wants you and your family to make it for God. Your relationship is vital. As a Christian to the Lord, yes. But as a church member of Pacific Baptist Church, your relationship with your pastor is vital. Get close to him. Let me ask you a question, church. How's your relationship with pastor? Is he just there? You come and you listen to a sermon, but really you don't have that connection with him? Let me say this. If you don't have that connection with pastor, and if you don't know him dearly, and you think he's just a figure that preaches, and you just come to church, you are missing out on a blessing with you and your family. Today, I'm just going to give you a couple of points. I think it's 8 points. You have your hand out there. How to get close to the pastor. And some of these are not, you know, something from the Bible. It's just something, some experience that I've had being here since 14. Now I'm 44 years old. And just having that close, tight-knit relationship with our pastor. I've had the opportunity of being here for about 30 years, and in 30 years, had two pastors. One pastor started the church, and the other pastor has been here since day one as an assistant. I know these men. And let me say this, Rotondi, these men know me. I know their strengths because I would sit down and eat meals with them. And I would go over their home. When the church was smaller, we hung out a lot more. And some of you in here know him. You've lived with him, some of you. Some of you, you know, he helped you get married. And some of you, he helps kind of like slap you across the head and say, hey, let's go this way. Let's go God's way. But let me just give you some ways you can be close to the pastor. This is not anything that's going to be like, wow. But it's just some helpful things. Number one here. Go to church when the doors are open. Go to church when the doors are open. They say, how does that have to do anything to do with being close to the pastor? Go to church when the doors are open. People are not comfortable with the pastor, usually hit and miss during the services. And you're not like that. You're here. I'm kind of preaching to the choir, preaching to the people in the live stream, right? But get to church. You need to be in the service to hear his heart and to hear his heart for you and your family. And let me say this. He has a heart for you and your family. You don't understand. Sometimes we go and we drive somewhere and I'm sitting with him and he talks about our church and our people. And he has a heart for you. He wants you, your family to succeed. He wants your family to make it for the Lord. Our pastor spends no doubt hours weekly on his sermons, not just so he can preach and wax eloquent, so he can help us and help you as a family. When he's preparing his sermon, he has you in mind. How can I help this family? How can I help that family? What can I do to help this teenager? What can I help to do to help this marriage? He's there to help you. He gives his heart and his time praying and asking the Lord's direction in what to preach. He doesn't just, you know. Which way am I going? Some of the sermons he's been preparing for months with you in mind. Come to the church when the doors are open. Number two, pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. I wonder, you know, how much we spend in time in prayer for our pastor. You have to understand that the pastor, if you will, he's not the most important person in our church, but in a sense, he's the most important person in our church because the devil's out to get him. Because if he knows, the devil knows, if he can get the pastor, everything else is just, if you will, domino effect. Pray for your pastor. Pray for God's power in his life. Pray for God's protection in his family. Pray for God's wisdom. Pray for long days. Pray for him to stay close to God. It's pray for him that he has a walk with God in a heartbeat for God and a heartbeat for this people. And pray that he has a vision for our families. I know our pastor prays for our people. I know he spends time thinking about you. He loves and prays for you weekly. He's concerned for you and your family. And he brings your family in prayer. Let me say this. Let's pray in turn. Pray for our pastor. Amen. Let's bring him and his family up in prayer daily. I don't go through a day without praying for my pastor. Sometimes I drive and I see a car that's like his car. And I would just, under my breath real fast, Lord, be with our pastor. Give him a good day. Help him, Lord, to stay right. Help him strengthen his family and strengthen his wife and strengthen his marriage. Because the better marriage he has and the better family he has, you don't understand, the better family and the better marriage we'll have. Number three, spend time with our pastor. Spend time with our pastor. You know, instead of just coming to church and leaving, try to go out of your way to greet him. You know, I don't know, we don't shake hands much anymore, fist bump, you know, elbow bump, give a little, with the Filipinos, what they do your eyebrows, right? Something like that. Is that, Brother Richard, is that what Filipinos do? What's that? Oh, yes, I thought you said you kiss them. No. My brothers do this. They point with their mouth, I guess. But spend time with the pastor, greet him. Take time to say hello and visit him before if you can, and after church, after the service. You know what? Go to the church activities. I know we haven't had much, but usually the summer is jam-packed with activities. Unfortunately, this year we haven't had that because of COVID. But, man, everything's going to get back to normal. Spend time. Fellowship with him. Sit down at ball games and talk and just fellowship. And, you know, when I was a teenager, I think I irritated our pastor. Sometimes I would just knock on his door, and our church wasn't as bad. I'd sit down and just ask him questions, and just sit there, and he would just say, I'll ask him, how do you prepare a sermon? What do you do with this, and what do you do with that? And he would just sit and just talk, and I just wanted to spend as much time as I could with my pastor. I want to know him. I want to know his likes. I want to know his dislikes. I want to know what gets him going. I want to know what makes him upset. When I went to college, I did the same thing with the pastor there at the college, and Brother Treber, the same thing. I go to pastor school, I sit down. How does he conduct the service? Spend time with your pastor. Number four, this is a big one. Teach your children to love and honor the pastor. Teach your kids to love and honor the pastor. Parents, I want to encourage you. You do yourself a disservice when you criticize the pastor. Because one day, you and your child will kind of bump heads a little bit. There's going to be a time. And I hope when that time comes, instead of running to somebody unsaved, they can go to the pastor. But sometimes that doesn't happen because the pastor preaches something. Oh, that man, I don't agree with this, that, and the other. No, your children push them to love and honor the pastor. Speak highly of him. Speak highly of him. When he does something, he preaches, and he's good to your family, I tell our staff, man, appreciate the pastor. I get paid for being in the ministry. I love the ministry. But let me say this. I can get fired anytime. Probably once a month, maybe every other month, I'll do an email or I'll write a regular letter. I'll just say, Pastor, I want to thank you for helping to support my family. Thank you for this job and allowing me to work here. And I tell my children, hey, we have this blessing because we're serving God and we have a good pastor. Push your children to love and honor the pastor. I want them to go to my pastor, Pastor Myers, for counsel. I want them to, whenever they feel like they need some advice, go to pastor. By the way, let me say this, young people. Go to pastor for some advice. Let me say this, parents. You don't understand it. You're having problems. Go to pastor for advice. Teach your children to love and honor the pastor. Let them know how much the Lord has used him to help our family. Humanly speaking, if it wasn't for Pastor Myers, I wouldn't be married to my wife. I tell this story. My wife said, oh, I need to tell this story. I remember Pastor Myers coming to me, and Pastor, you're watching. Miss Mary, Miss Alma, you're watching. I remember that time Pastor came to me, and he said, Nate, I said, yes. He said, what do you think about Somalia? I said, I don't. And she says, why do you say that? I mean, at least, you know, I said, you know what? To tell you the truth, I liked girls, but I was engulfed in my bus route and in school. I just wanted to, you know, I knew I wasn't ready to get married. And he said, what do you think? I said, I really don't think anything. I mean, I'm not interested. I mean, I'm not, you know, weird. I mean, I like girls. If it was a girl and a guy, I would like girls. And I, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I was a, you know, red-blooded man, but I wasn't, ain't nobody got time for that, you know, that was my, I mean, I have time for that. I became a senior. In college, he asked me, I said, you know what, he said, you should. I said, okay. And I started thinking about it. But counsel, you know, my family, we owe a debt of gratitude to Pastor Esposito and Pastor Myers. Never criticize or demean him to your family. Amen. Pastor says something. Look, I've been here for 30 years. Have I disagreed with Pastor Myers and Pastor Esposito? Yes. You say, how do you do it? I don't go and criticize to my family. I disagree with something or I don't understand something. I go to the office and say, hey, can you explain so I can understand? Good. And most of the time, 99.9999% of the time, it's like, you know what? I'm there. I understand. Yeah. I'm standing with you. Yeah. I want my children to respect and honor him. Yeah. I want my children to grow up here in this church and get married and not come and say, man, as soon as I'm 18, as soon as I graduate from high school, I'm out of here. I mean, why should they stay if we're, as parents, criticizing the church and the pastor all the time? Number next, involved in your life. Keep him involved in your life. Well, it is great. You're like looking like, this is not a regular sermon. This is almost like a class. Yes, it is. Keep him involved in your life. Pastor has a lot of people to care for, and sometimes he forgets things. He's human. Keep him informed with you and your family's life. Whether it's a birthday, hey, today's my son's birthday, you know, say happy birthday to him, and, you know, stuff like that. Anniversary, different milestones that are important. Stay connected with him and tell him what's going on. You know what? Tell him what's going on with the different events in your life. Number six, you have your notes there. Read any material that he writes and listen to his sermons if you miss. We have a blog that we have on our website. Read his stuff. He's doing different books and stuff right now, and he's asking all of us to write different booklets. I've never wrote anything in my life other than essays for class, right? Yeah, I need you to write this book. First he started, Pastor, I'm sorry. 15, 20 pages. Okay, I got that, 15, 20 pages. Write that down. You know what, come think about, can you do about 40, 50 pages? Like, you just doubled it. So, yeah, we need some good material for our people. We need good. Brother Joseph's writing a couple books. Brother pamphlets or so. Brother Chim and a couple other men writing different books. But read any material that he has. Number next, and I mentioned this: counsel with your pastor. Counsel with your pastor. Don't be afraid to speak to him. I talked to somebody recently, and I said, "What are you doing with your life?" I don't know, young person. I said, has there been a time where you've spoken to your pastor? Well, no. I said, it might be a good idea to speak to your pastor. Counsel with him. Don't be afraid to speak to him. He's here to help you and your family. Ask him for godly advice. It doesn't have to be anything long and have a daily, you know, weekly count. No, just get some. What are your thoughts on this, Pastor? Let me say this. People, let me say this, church. When you go counsel with Pastor, listen. You know, in the back of his mind, he's not, come talk to me so I can destroy your life. Yes. That's not him. He has your best interest in mind.
Amen.
How can I help this family?
Yep.
I remember as a teenager, Brother Joseph, I went to your dad, and that's in the summer. I think it was my 10th grade or 9th or 10th grade year. I wanted a job. And he heard that I wanted a job, and he sat me. He said, hey, Nate, let me talk to you. He said, I heard you're trying to get a job. I said, yeah. We'll get a job, summer job, you know. He said, for what? I thought, oh, get money? He said, for what? Oh, I just buy some sneakers? For what? He kept saying, whatever answer I had, Brother Tongdi, he said, for what? For what? So here's usually a teenager's job. They just get their license. I'm going to get a job. For what? So I could buy a car. For what? So I can buy gas for the car. For what? So it's almost like a vicious cycle. And he said, you know what? If you want a job real bad, he said, I'll hire you. I said, praise the Lord. The ministry is good. He said, I'm going to give you, I want to say $50 a month. I said, $50 a month? Yes, $50 a month. And I'll give you $50 a month, and what you're going to do, you're going to come here, and all the hours I work. I said, sounds like a good deal. I'm in. You know what? Those kids that got a job, I think all of them that got a job, they're not serving the Lord anymore.
Come on.
I'm all for working. I'm all for teenagers working. I'm all for hard work. Be careful, parents, about the job. Yes. I didn't understand it back then. I remember going to college. I wanted to go to college in Indiana because I was like, Pastor always talked about Indiana. And I sat into the college. I'm thinking, you know what? He's going to send me to Indiana. So Indiana was my first choice. My second choice was up north. And I sat there. I said, what do you think? He said, oh, those are good colleges. And then I just stopped there. He says, so you're going to ask me where you should go? I said, Pastor, where should I go? He said, I want you to go to college about an hour and a half away from here. I said, but Pastor, you know, come on, I want to go to Independent Fundamental, you know, this, that, and, you know, great preacher. He said, you want to work here? I said, yes, I do. You go to that college. Yes, sir. And I remember sitting there talking to him, and he counseled me, and I listened. I thank God I listened to him.
Amen.
I remember my wife, when I told him I was interested in her. And Pastor Esposito, he's different. He's, you know, all strict and everything like that. When I start talking to him about boy and girl relationship, his just smile come up. I mean, he was back there in the nursery, and usually I'll visit him right before I go to the Khmer service back when we had church. And I said, Pastor, you heard about these people that they like each other? He'll smile and go, who? And I would tell him, smiles. I remember saying, I know who Dan likes, Pastor. He's like, who? And I said, I kid, I don't know who he likes. am I right, Brother Joseph, where you at? Am I right? I mean, he wants our young people to date and court and get married and married right, and some of you need to get on the ball. I mean, he was all for that. But I remember doing that and got wise counsel on that. Thank the Lord for it. My dating and my marriage and child rearing, going to pastor for child rearing and advising pastor, what do you do in this situation? I remember buying a home. And I went to Pastor Myers and said, Pastor Myers, what do you think? I mean, can you help me? I want to buy a home. Here's what I'm doing. And I already knew what he was going to say. You say, why? Because, I mean, growing up here, I read books and everything and read blogs. And, you know, before you make a big purchase, make sure everything, all your ducks are in order. I got all my ducks. Here it is. Here's what I'm doing. What do you think? I remember I told him, I said, can you drive with me to go look at a couple homes that I'm interested in? So I drove. I drove to one and two, and it was three places. He said, I like this one. neighborhood's good. You can get out and you can walk around. You don't have to feel like you have to be inside. It's not busy. I wanted to pick his brain. I wanted his counsel. All my major decisions in life. Now, let me say this. I want to get as much information as I can from other people, especially my pastor. And all the major decisions in my life, I sat down and I talked to pastor. I said, what do you think I should do? And I didn't tell him what I was going to do. I gave him some ideas. I said, what do you think is best for me and my family? You know me. I remember with my wife, and Somali, close your ears. I talked to Pastor Esposito. I said, Pastor, what do you think? He said, your life, you've got to make that decision. You pray about it. I said, well, time out. You help me out, Pastor. You've told me to do a lot of things here. Well, why are you leaving this decision? He said, nope, I'm not making this. This one's on. You pray about it. You ask God about that. So I came about it a different way. I said, Pastor, let's say I'm your son and you're looking for a daughter-in-law. What would you do? He said, well, you put it that way. I said, gotcha. But counsel with him. Ask him for advice. Any major decisions that you have, ask him for advice. Don't just go out and do, you know, when you're, you know, if you're going to move somewhere, if you're going to, ask for advice. There's so many people that, not because we're bad people, because it's just because we don't see things. And we, instead of asking our pastor for advice, we ask people that agree with us. Don't always ask people that would agree with you. Ask people that would give you an honest advice, not because it makes you feel good, but because it's good for you.
That's right. Amen.
Number eight, this is the last one. Be an encouragement and spoil your pastor. A pastor goes through a lot in his life. He's human. He goes through the same things you go through. Let me read you this list. And I've read this list before, and it's on your handout there. List of some statistics. Can't even say that word right. From different research companies here. Not companies, different research ministries, I should say. The average pastor lasts about 3 years in a church. 3 years. Most pastors have a lot of problems with deacons, staff, and church members. The average pastor lasts 3 years. Pastor Myers has been in this church since day one. This is sad. 1,500 pastors leave the ministry every month due to spiritual burnout or different contentions in the church. Look at this. America has experienced a net loss, and this has been probably almost 10 years old, these stats here, a net loss of 3,000 churches each year. No wonder our country is going to the tubes. No churches. 70% of pastors constantly fight depression. Pastors, depression, yes. 80% of pastors and 84% of pastors' wives are discouraged with the ministry. So what do we do? Encourage him. That's why I'm giving you this point. 50% are so discouraged they would leave the ministry if they could, but have no other means of making a living. Let me say this. Our pastor, if he leaves the ministry today, he'll do well. He'll do well. I can't tell you different things, but he'll do well. 80% of pastors' wife wish their husband had chosen another profession. I've been in the ministry for a while, and I have the opportunity to speak to different preachers. When they come here and I spend time with them and I have access to calling them, and pastor would ask me to call and ask different pastors for different advice for our church. And I ask them sometimes some very pointed questions. Let me say this. We have a great pastor.
Yep.
50% of pastors' marriages will end up in divorce. 70% of pastors do not have a close friend or confidant. 80% of pastors' children seek professional help for depression by the time they become adults. I mean, look at Jack. Case in point. Just kidding. He's the only one here from pastor's family, so I'll pick on him. Over 50% of pastors' wives said their most destructive event that has ever occurred in their marriage and family was the day they entered into the ministry. Wow. I went to the, I read a lot of blogs and everything like that. I stumbled upon this. Here's a list of things a pastor might not tell you. Here's what a list of things a pastor might not tell you. Letter A, it doesn't matter how people leave. We always, and when I say we here, we're talking about the pastor of the church, always take it personal and it always hurts.
Yeah.
We run the risk of constantly neglecting our own kids because of the constant pressure to help everyone else's. It's physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually exhausting to thoroughly preach a message. Somebody says, oh, all the pastor does is just preach two messages on Sunday, that's it? And a Thursday? It's physically, emotionally, mentally exhausting. Number next, we don't get the same luxury of having a pastor to call when we struggle. You know when I struggle? Hey, pastor, I need some help. Can you help me with this? Who does he go to? Not a lot of people. We have very few friends, a whole bunch of acquaintances, and less than a handful we can really trust. Letter H, working 50 hours a week is considered part-time. Some people think, I tell them I work at the church. What do you do at the church? I say, I'll trade you jobs any day. Go ahead. Let's see how much stress and how much an emotional drain you have. But I love the ministry. I love the ministry. Number next, you can rarely rejoice in who shows up because you immediately know who skipped out.
Yeah.
That's why as God's people, man, be here. We never get days off, or we never get days free of drama and problems. You know, you go to work at Walmart, you clock in, you clock out. Our pastor didn't have the opportunity to clock in, clock out. There's been times I've called, me personally, I don't know about you, but me personally, I've called him late at night. Hey, pastor, I have this problem. Can you help me with this? We never get days free of drama and problems. Number next, no matter how good Sunday was, Monday is always an emotional roller coaster. Last one, the weight of people, unrealistic expectations fill us with anxiety and restlessness. Being a pastor is not easy. Let me say this. I'm about done. We have a great pastor. And you just don't understand, some of us, we don't go to different churches a lot. I have the opportunity to visit different churches. We have a great ministry. We've had people preach behind our pulpit there at our church and pastors, and you might think, oh, wow, what a great man. We have a great pastor. So as a church, let's do our best to encourage him.
Amen.
Let me say this, church. Make sure we appreciate our pastor. Make sure we pray for our pastor. Make sure we tell him, hey, I'm behind you 100%. I'm behind you 110%. Let's not criticize him. I'm not talking about blind loyalty where he says, hey, let's drink this Kool-Aid and we all go and drink. I'm not talking about that craziness. I'm talking about loyalty where we say, you know what? God is leading our church. And you believe it's this way? Let's do it. As long as it's not contrary to the word of God.
Amen.
So how can we encourage him? Number one, spoil him. You know, he comes back on Sunday. Spoil him. So, you know what you ought to say? Other than Ross, you know, everybody did a good job. Ross didn't. That's fine. I said, we miss your preaching.
Yeah.
Brother Chim was, he was out there. Brother Bichardo, just getting everybody upset. You know, Brother Joseph, I don't know what he said. You know, who else is there? Who else preached? Ross, I don't even know if he used the Bible. You know, we're glad you're back. Encourage him. Encourage him with and spoil him with kind words, texts, emails. Thank him for his sermon. And when he preaches, if God spoke to you, thank him. Say, God used you to help my family in this way. Let him know you pray for him. Let him know that you are behind what God is doing at our church. Here's another one. Give him gifts. Everybody likes gifts. God takes care of his needs. But there's different times where as a church member, as Pacific Baptist, we belong to this church, we ought to give him his wants.
Yep.
We ought to do our best. You know, we have a family over here, Crystal's family from North Valley. Brother Treber drives a real nice car. They take care of Pastor. As a church, we're capable of taking care of our pastor.
Yep. Amen.
Let's do our best. Not just taking care of his needs, but his wants. You know what? Remember him on his birthday. Sometimes we just need to write it down and say, you know what, his birthday? I'm going to get him a gift. I'm going to get him a card. I'm going to say a happy birthday. I'm going to pray for him. Christmas. It should be big. You ought to thank him. You ought to include him. His wedding anniversary. The church anniversary. We have the church anniversary, which is next week. We're not celebrating it next week. But let me say this. Pastor, just turn this off. I know you're watching. We contacted a lot of people on getting him a special gift. Go to Simple Give. If you want to do that right now, under special offering, give to that. My family gives it to every year. I thank God for our staff that give to that. Our staff, we love our pastor. But as God's people, let's be a blessing to him. We have different boxes back there. Of course, it's over and above your tithe. Go in there, right on there, a special offering for pastor. We want to bless our pastor. You say, man, that's worldly or that's kind of, carnal. We like good things too, don't we? Right? You say, pastor, it's supposed to be super. I know. But it'd be nice to have a nice gift also.
Yeah.
And by the way, what we give him does not credit what he's done here for our church.
Oh, come on. Amen.
A church that's gone through what we've gone through and to lead us into that building here pretty soon takes a lot of work.
Yep.
Let's be a blessing to him. What do we do? Randomly get him things like, you know what, get him a candy bar. I don't know what kind of candy bar he eats. I don't even know if he eats candy bar. All I know is he's a dessert freak. Sometimes my daughter just bakes cookies for him. And he just, sorry, pastor, he puts it down like nobody else. I'm saying, I go, good night. He's inhaling that stuff. He loves, I don't know about candy bar, but I know he loves baked goods. Snickers, he drinks coffee. He loves coffee. Get him coffee. Get him different snacks. When he's on keto, get him keto stuff. We're going to have a special offering later on. And go home and do what you got to do if you can. But be a blessing to our pastor during this time. I know today wasn't like, man, I came out of here and I'm getting right with God. I'm going to change this. I'm going to change that. What I'm challenging you to do, this is just like a family talk right here. Let's appreciate our pastor.
Yes,
when you take extra effort to connect with your pastor, you only not only encourage him, but you and your family will benefit as well. You need spiritual accountability and connection with your pastor. A strong relationship with him will help you and your family immensely. I encourage you. I love our pastor. I don't think he's going anywhere. But it's very easy for him too. Very easy for him too. I know pastors that would hire our pastor in a heartbeat. I know churches that would take our pastor in a heartbeat. We have a great man. Let's do our best, church, to appreciate, love, pray, and care for our pastor. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness. We thank you so much for our pastor. And Lord, I probably didn't do it justice to convey how much he means to me personally, but he means to our church and what he's done for our church. And Lord, we have so many people here that have grown up here. We have no desire to go anywhere. We have no desire to leave. This is our home. How great it is to have a pastor that has been here since day one, that knows the heartbeat of the church, that knows the heartbeat of our people. Not perfect, but he's your man that you've ordained to be here for us at this time. Help us as a church family to honor, to appreciate, to love him. Help us to do our best and our families to make him feel like he's going to stay here for the rest of his life. We pray, Lord, that you bless him as he travels and help, Lord, that special offering that we're taking up for him. Help us, our church, to see the importance of it and give towards that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.